You're listening to The Deranged Nation, a true crime podcast featuring New York Times best-selling paranormal romance author and your host, Teresa Gabelman.
And we are back for episode 7 of Deranged Nation.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome back. So before we do the case, I want to do some shout-outs. We want to do some shout-outs. And we have Cindy Hearts Crochet, which is, she has been really spreading the word.
Hey, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thanks, Cindy.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
So we appreciate that a lot. Sherry Cade loves yarn and crochet. I could not crochet anything, even if I tried.
My mom used to crochet all kinds. Well, you know, she crochets all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I got a bunch
like
of pot holders.
Like afghans and stuff.
She
and
still does.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it.
I think every year somebody gets an afghan crochet.
I think the only thing I've ever crocheted was like construction paper in like third grade art class.
Yeah, I did that too, and little, I still like, wasn't any good at that.
Right? That's weaving, I think.
Yeah, but that's about the it's still the same concept, just yarn and...
You sit there and watch these ladies, man. They made us
do it in school. I think we only had to do like a braided line, though.
I have a hard enough time trying to get lined through a fishing hook.
Like home ec.
Yeah. It was home ec.
We did home ec. Yeah. All we did was cook and eat.
We made pot holders and stuff like that, too.
I made a shirt. My home ec teacher didn't like me, man. She hated my guts, actually. I can't. Do you remember her name?
No.
What was her name on here? Oh. Whatever. But
I don't remember, really.
I don't either. That's why you're not going to name her, because you can't remember. I can't either. Yeah, she hated me.
So
yeah.
We had home maintenance with shingle, where we got to like do like drywall and change lights.
I would have rather done that.
Shingle wasn't going to do any crocheting.
No, could you see him putting an apron on, baking us a cake?
No, that's not something I could see shingle doing. No way. And then we have Grandma Benny, who Cindy has sent our way. So, hello, Grandma Benny.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
And then we have, and this, I was kind of excited. He could have said we suck and all kinds of stuff, but I was just excited because it's Billy Jack 85.
Billy Jack.
Billy Jack.
And Billy Jack is my favorite badass.
Seen every movie.
Every
More
movie.
More than once.
Yeah.
Thanks, Billy Jack.
So, keep commenting and... We try to answer and give you guys a shout out because we really appreciate the support.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
So we are going to start. I wanted to do
a female
psycho.
Because we've done all males.
Yeah. And this
Some
one.
Some psycho bitches out there too. Yeah. Make it all think the males are the bad guys.
And don't forget that.
Yeah.
We can be psycho when we need to be.
This one made me sick.
Yeah.
This one made me sick to my stomach. Worse than Pazuzu.
Yeah, this one. Yeah. It wasn't
gruesome at all.
But anyway, just psychotic. Like, fuck
right.
her.
I came on it by accident, really, when I started watching it on Amazon Prime. I seen it and I thought, well, that looks interesting. Yeah. And I didn't really know that it was going to be the female that we're going to do, the psycho. Shirley Jane Turner was, there's not a whole lot about her from her early days that I could find. She was raised with three siblings in Wichita, Kansas, but they moved to Newfoundland with her mother after their parents separated. So, I do know they said that they were pretty dirt poor, but that's about it. So she actually, her first husband, she was married to 1982, I believe. She was working toward her undergraduate program, and she became pregnant and then married. They had a son. But after she had her son, that's when like the controlling behavior really started happening.
Oh, really?
And she was getting
her degree for to be a doctor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And
how long was she in school?
I know.
She had two husbands, and then
yeah, she
Andrew,
she
the guy we're going to talk about.
Yeah, she actually quit for a while, okay. And then she at some point became a school teacher.
She received her undergraduate degree in 1994. And 4 years later, she earned her MD degree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she was actually a doctor, okay. Which is scary.
Yeah, that is scary.
Yeah. But she started exhibiting her controlling behavior. She cut her mother-in-law out of her son's life. So, she was kind of starting to get weird.
I already see some trending qualities here.
Yeah.
So, in around... They remained married for from 81 to 87. She then abandoned her undergraduate degree and began working as a school teacher.
Oh God!
Yeah, science teacher, which is scary.
She was obviously intelligent, which is sad.
And a lot of times psychopaths are highly intelligent.
Yeah, but what would make you want to go crazy? Hold on, did it say what? Why she went from being a doctor to teaching science class?
No, but
there's quite a pay drop in that too.
She did,
unfortunately, but
we will get into when she was going through her residencies and stuff like that. She received her undergraduate degree from Memorial University of May of 1994. 4 years later, she earned her MD degree. Now, she did they have to do residency intern stuff. Well, she had a lot of issues with the people that she worked with, like the doctors that she worked under, with the staff and everything like that. One actually said, "I felt that I was being manipulated whenever I spoke with Shirley Turner. When negative items would come up, she would change the topic to one of my failures."
Of course.
I've known many, not many, but
narcissistic.
Yes. She could be charming, friendly, and lively, but when called in an untruth, she would become angry, accusatory, and loud. I always felt Shirley was putting on a show as if she was playing the role, but no feelings for her work. So she was pretty much just going through the motions and...
Yeah, no passion for it.
He says, "I cannot recall a trainee like Shirley in that her approach lacked personal commitment and her relationships with people seemed, at least to me, to be superficial when compared to over the other 400 residents I have supervised during my past 21 years."
Wow.
So that says a lot.
Yeah.
Especially when somebody
She's not a personable person. Yeah.
Especially in a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because doctors see tons of faces every day. So
right.
For them to remember you and then remember they didn't like you.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
So with her first husband, she had a boy. And then she had a girl. And then she married again. She had another girl. And I believe it was the last marriage that she started having an affair. And she really went through, her one husband worked in the mines and he worked a lot of overtime.
Yeah.
And she would say she was going to spend time, with family. Well, what she did was she would drop her kids off and then go meet the guy she was having an affair with.
Right.
And, which doesn't, that happens.
Right.
With people. That doesn't make somebody a psycho.
Right.
But she just had those tendencies of not being a good mother, good, wife, and all that stuff. So.
No emotion towards it. Clearly. Yeah.
She also, in March of 1996, she began a relationship with a St. John's resident who was 13 years her junior. After the man broke up with her and moved elsewhere, she, called this guy. I'm talking...
This is when the crazy calls start.
A ton of crazy calls. Now, this is another guy.
Right.
In November of 97, she confronted him and struck him in the jaw with her high-heeled shoes.
Damn.
Yeah. After consulting...
Still on her foot?
After consulting with his parents, the ex-boyfriend moved to Pennsylvania in the United States in 98.
So this is all going on in Newfoundland.
Yeah, yeah. And then he moves, and then she follows him, leaving threatening voicemails over the following years. She began traveling to Pennsylvania to make unannounced visits to her ex-boyfriend's apartment. On several occasions, he summoned the state troopers to convince her to leave.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Did that say that was in Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And remember, that was one of the places she stopped.
Yeah.
After...
On her way to and from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, and, trying not to give a spoiler alert.
Right.
To make you guys listen.
So, he expressed fear to the police what Dr. Turner would do next. In April of 99, the ex-boyfriend found Turner laying semi-conscious outside of his apartment. She had ingested a combined 65 milligrams of over-the-counter drugs in what may not have been a sincere suicide attempt. Turner was wearing a black dress and carried a bouquet of red roses.
What?
And two suicide notes on her person. One was addressed
and
to the man.
65. What was how it? 65 milligrams.
Wait, this was all before. This was all before Andrew.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
How was this not noted?
God. I know, dude.
They didn't say anything like this in the documentary.
Yeah, I think this also is. This also is the. What the parliament? So this isn't
right.
This isn't our government. This isn't the United States government.
So, she was wearing a black dress and carried red roses and two suicide notes. One was addressed to the man and the other to her psychiatrist.
Oh, my God.
The latter read, "I am not evil, just sick." Turner was rushed to the hospital where her stomach was pumped. The following day, the man found a voicemail by a female caller, likely Turner disguising her voice, who said, "Dr. Turner died last night."
Oh, God.
So she's a whack.
She's a whack child.
Yeah.
She is a
whack.
Now,
this the same psychiatrist we're going to be talking about later?
I believe so. That, you know what? They most never really said, but I believe it is. I think she had this guy.
So he knew.
Well, I think they, in the one, I think they may even have admitted to having some kind of relationship. Didn't
it
they?
Wouldn't surprise me. I don't think so. Not in the documentary, anyways. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Am I thinking of something? Somebody different?
She just obviously had a way anyway.
You could assume it pretty easily, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, dude, I mean, the crazy part was she was actually a doctor. So it was a little, it's like it was like easier for her to be crazy and get away with it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, she's a doctor on paper. You know what I mean?
But she tried to kill herself with 65 milligrams of an over-the-counter
I mean, how did
drug?
She even, like, what, not lose
what
her license?
Can you buy over-the-counter that's 65 milligrams going to OD you?
No,
well, she's not. They're in Canada, too.
Yeah.
So
she's in the States at this time, 65 in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
This was Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Shit, I take 800 milligrams of Advil every other day.
Well,
so.
They said it was a half... ass suicide.
Yeah, sounds like
she wasn't really trying
to kill herself. That's,
yeah,
exactly.
That's what
attention
I'm trying to say.
Seeking.
So the now here comes. This
I can hear that voicemail now. Dr. Turner died last night.
I think it'd be more feminine. So can you do a feminine?
No.
Oh, come on.
No, she's a psycho.
She is a psycho. But the documentary that we watched is on Amazon. And actually, I looked to see if it was on YouTube. And I guess the only place that you can
they
get
kinda
it.
They kind of copied some stuff off and we used clips out of the video.
And that
stuff
was it.
Different
yeah.
documentaries.
Did you, is it free on Prime?
If you have Prime.
I think so. Yeah. If you got Prime.
If you have Prime.
It actually
not,
is on YouTube, too.
It's good. It's
no,
worth.
It is on YouTube. The whole hour and a half of it.
Oh, it
is. On
it is.
YouTube.
I couldn't
yeah.
find it.
It's called A Letter.
Yeah, Dear Zachary, A Letter to a Son About His Father. And what this is, and I'm going to try not to get upset. I'll tell you what, this documentary was very interactive for, I mean, I was yelling,
yeah.
cussing, crying
yeah.
at the TV.
Yeah, it was
to the point where
crazy.
I think I even came downstairs where Ron was like, Yeah. Just furious. Yeah. Just yeah, and, furious about this.
And the guy who made it, Kurt, is actually a childhood friend of Andrew, the guy the documentary is kind of about, the victim.
Yeah, the victim. Yeah. So he was actually, as they grew up together and they were best friends, and Andrew was in, and this guy's name that did the thing is Kurt, that did the documentary, and they were like best friends, and Andrew was in every one of the movies.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Cause they would do just funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the people he talked to, he always told all of his other friends that never knew Kurt, cause Kurt went around and like interviewed everybody that Andrew had ever known, like patients, friends, classmates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew was actually, so just to give you a little insight on Andrew, he was just I would have wanted to be buddies with Andrew.
Oh yeah.
You know, and when you watch the documentary, you'll see what we're talking about. He was just a cool, goofy,
down to earth
guy that, you know, I would have liked to have known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was actually going to medical school also.
Guess where? Dun dun dun.
Newfoundland.
Memorial.
Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Memorial.
Newfoundland.
But
but he went to school in Newfoundland.
Yeah, that's where he got accepted to go.
Where Shirley's at.
That's where they went together. Yeah. That's how they met.
And what was his full name? I don't know if you said his whole name. It was Bagby.
Bagby.
Yeah. Andrew Bagby.
Yeah, he didn't like to go by Andy. He liked to go by Andrew or Bags.
Yeah.
Bags.
But the reason for the documentary was because he wanted to, you know, this was his friend. Everybody he talked to, nobody had a bad thing to say about Andrew. Yeah. Nothing. And it was really, some of it was, even his ex-fiancée.
Yeah.
When they met, they said all of a sudden this lady that was, I think he was 20.
He was 28.
And she was 40.
40, yep.
And they were all kind of like, whoa, that's a big age difference.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm sorry, age difference.
Yeah.
Unless it's underage.
Unless you're like underage, yeah. You know, I don't really think that's a big gap.
But a lot.
One of his buddies said something about grandma. Or something.
Yeah, he did. Because she had kids and had been married more than once and divorced. So he started calling him grandma, or saying that it was a grandma.
Yeah,
he was messing with grandma.
Yeah. But you know, they said that she just started showing up everywhere. They didn't really know much about Shirley.
Really, really clingy.
Yeah. So
pretty much doing all.
There's a lot of footage of them together.
Yeah.
Where pretty much doing
obsessive kind of. You could tell.
Right.
Yeah, and doing all the shit she was doing in the stories we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it started out good, and usually with people like that, it does always start out good, and then you start seeing that side of them.
Yeah.
And I think he did.
Early enough. Almost early enough.
So he was actually at one, and he had so many friends, so honestly, I cannot name all of his friends.
No.
There was just so many of them.
Family, friends, all over the world. England, he had relatives in England. Mm-hmm. More than that, too, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta say, the one good thing, though, is he did get to live at least a good life.
Yeah, of what he did have.
Of what he did. I mean, how old was he when he died? 28?
At 28.
When he died?
Yeah. Yes, he was 28 years old.
I mean, that's still young, but
You know, it's just, and I, you know, the other thing, Andrew was in every one of Kurt's home movies and even supported him with money that he was saving for medical school.
Yeah.
So
he gave him two grand, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a great, like, indie documentary, like a documentary not made by a big corporation or anything. This guy really put it together good. And what's crazy is, well, never mind. Keep going. I don't want to get too far ahead yet.
So their relationship, you know, starts getting rocky, and he actually started out his residency in New York as a surgical
a surgical tech?
Tech.
Yeah.
He hated it. They, everybody said he was miserable. He hated it. So he ended up going back to Pennsylvania and started with a family practice. And everybody there had nothing. I mean, he said, I finally found what I was meant to do.
Yeah.
And even patients would not be seen by anybody else but him. So that said a lot about how this guy was.
Yeah.
You know, everybody had great things to say about him. So he, I think the final straw, and you guys might agree or disagree, when I watched the documentary was when even his parents, which we'll talk about more in a minute, but even his parents were saying that she wasn't invited to one of the weddings.
I think it was one of his best friend's weddings.
Yeah.
And he was the best man for it.
His phone would just started ringing like crazy, you know, and then people started knowing that something was going on.
Yeah, because he was hundreds of calls.
Yeah. So as Andrew and Shirley's relationship was going, as we said, you know, his parents, friends, associates were all really uneasy about their relationship. They just felt that it just wasn't right. There was something wrong. And she was being, you know, very controlling with his time. But she ended up moving to Council Bluffs, Iowa, while Bagby, I kept wanting to call him Bagley.
Bagley.
What was our
Bagby?
Bagby. Yeah.
You know who he kind of looked like? I know this is random, but he kind of looked like who did I say he looked like? John Belushi from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. I thought he kind of looked like a young Jack Black.
And kind of had that funniness.
Yeah. For like, some imagery.
What was that? School Rock or something?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But she moved to Council Bluffs, Iowa, while he stayed as a resident at the family practice in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. So in November of 2001, the relationship starts to crumble. Turner becomes increasingly possessive, and he actually breaks up with her, puts her on a plane to Iowa.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So she drives back almost 1,000 miles.
1,300, I think it said.
Okay, 1,300 to Pennsylvania and asks him to meet her at the Keystone Park, State Park. And he called, was it Clark?
I think it was Clark.
The associate of his.
He was another doctor at the...
A resident.
He was supposed to be going over to his house to talk about Shirley,
because... Well, yeah, because he said, let me tell you, if I broke up with a girl and she drove back, you know, 1,000 miles...
She came to his door.
And and he said, comes to my door and knocks on it, I'm going out the back and calling the police.
Yeah.
And... You know, Andrew just kind of laughed it off. Like, oh, whatever. You know.
Like, what's going to happen?
Crazy.
He said, I will be, you know, at your... And I think they only live like a couple houses away from each other.
He was meeting her at 6 o'clock. He said, I'll be at your house at 7:30.
Yeah. And he said, Clark said, when 7:30 came, I knew something bad had happened.
Because he was never late. Yeah.
One thing about him, he was never late.
Yeah.
And that kind of gave me... I was like, man.
I know.
Dag on it. So, Andrew, unfortunately, was found dead the following day, face down, with 5 gunshot wounds. When Turner learned she was a suspect in the murder investigation, she fled to St. John's. So she went back to Canada.
Yeah.
So he was found in the park.
But though, before... Right?
Yeah, he was found in the park.
Well, she got questioned in his car.
United States, yeah.
Yeah, and she went back to Iowa
for a while,
mm-hmm.
and was getting away with it. And then after they questioned so many people and found out that, you know, they were in a relationship, she was like, oh, we were just good friends. Mm-hmm. We were very close. We were just good friends, though. And
well, once she found out she was pregnant is when she up and bounced.
She was 4 months pregnant.
She was 4 months
pregnant. When they saw her in court though.
But so. I don't think anybody knew about that. The one thing
I don't think she found that out till after he was already dead.
No, yeah, he was already a lot to dead. Do with
why she. Oh, okay. I was gonna say.
Well, and the thing is, what when they on the documentary, you'll hear the police, you know, questioning her, and one thing that I found really weird, and a weird thing to, for anybody to say is, oh my gosh, do the parents don't know yet. And I don't know, just the way, and when you guys hear her voice,
I know,
and I don't know if it's just because I wanted to reach through the TV screen and smack the crap out of her.
She's like high pitched.
Even her voice, and just, she sounds nuts.
Yeah.
She really sounds nuts.
Yeah, and this is
so people always ask stupid questions to where if I was a police officer, I'd be like,
dude, this is like this is kind of another one where the like face palm on the police, man. Like,
I know,
dude. She's like, I think my gun's in the closet, the car, or
it's somewhere
around here.
Yeah,
like, how do you not know where your gun is? And you just took a training
and
course.
And they're talking on the phone.
You just
too,
took a
I think,
gun
aren't they?
Shooting class like 3 weeks.
Or did they
ago.
Have her inside of a? Inside of a station.
No, they were
it was
on
over
the phone.
I know.
Because
he was trying to get her to turn it into
Iowa
police.
Yeah.
Because he just didn't assume that she did it.
So, and it was a 22
caliber. She's a doctor.
Caliber.
How could she do it?
Yeah.
It was a 22.
Same bullets in it. CCI. And a firearm instructor. The firearm instructor even testified and said that sometimes her gun jammed and ejected a live round. And there was a live round found at the scene where
Andrew
was
what,
shot.
Four or five other shells.
Six casings.
And I don't even
six
think they got her
six
gun.
Six empty casings. No, I don't think they've
no,
ever found
and that
no.
tells them, you know, everything. And it's sad.
Yeah.
She went and took classes for shooting. She went to the shooting range and got lessons and everything.
Yeah, there's a lot that...
She was like, to protect myself. To protect
she left-
myself.
She left a voicemail at Andrew's apartment. She even logged into eBay in the morning at his house after he was dead, when he was already dead.
That's disgusting.
Oh, my God.
Went to his house, though.
I don't know. It's crazy. It wasn't until after she reached St. John's that she revealed that she was pregnant. Now, revealed, that doesn't say that she didn't know it already.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that's why she fled. Because the way this... works out in her favor with the kid in Canada versus the way I think it would have worked out here in the States.
She wouldn't
is
have
a lot
custody.
Different. Right. I think it would have went a lot differently over here on her end because she would have lost custody as the minute she was incarcerated.
The grandparents would have kept.
So while her extradition was pending, Shirley was not held in custody. She gave birth to a boy she named Zachary. Now here we go with Andrew's parents. David and
some fantastic Kate. People.
Oh my gosh. These people have gone, I don't even know how they did it.
I really
do not. So they moved, his parents moved to Canada to gain custody of Zachary and to obtain Turner's rendition for a trial in the US. So what they were hoping for was a quick turnaround.
Right.
That she would be sent back to the States for the murder of their son, and which, as you guys will find out, never happened. The extradition process was repeatedly prolonged by Turner's lawyers based on legal technicalities.
Now, didn't she get arrested in the United States and then released out here? Or she was
she
never
was
arrested
never
because
arrested.
She fled whenever they went to find her, right?
Yeah, she was never... They never got anything on her.
She went back
States.
To Newfoundland, right?
She was gone before they had a chance to get her.
So, and now this is where it gets kind of crazy. When the court ruled that enough evidence pointed to Turner as Andrew's killer, she was put in jail, and Andrew's parents, David and Kate... were awarded custody of Zachary. But that they weren't really they were only awarded custody, but they had stipulations that they had to abide by.
Yeah.
Which was very
Well, first they moved to Newfoundland and fought to see
him. While she was still out.
While she was still out. And I think they got a few supervised visits. It took them a long time,
but they got an hour supervised visit, I think, once a week. And then they started to get it twice a week. And then, you know, so on and so forth. When while that was going on, she was constantly accusing the instructor lady of the way Zachary was acting when he would leave, that they were doing something to him, and the lady was like, no, you're not going to accuse me. Like, you're crazy. Like, no.
Yeah, she was really jealous. Shirley was really jealous of the grandmother of Andrew's mom because, and it even showed footage of, it was Kate, the grandma, the mom, and then I don't know who the other lady was.
Might have been one of her daughters.
It was a babysitter, I think.
I don't know who it was.
It was just a third-party friend.
But every time Zachary would go to, you know, wouldn't go to his mom, every time would go to the grandma.
Yeah.
Which
she had a problem with rejection, clearly.
And even, like, you know, the swimming pool scenes and stuff like that, it's just...
She didn't have that mother...
You could just see it.
Yeah.
It was very weird.
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck is this thing?
Like, yeah.
It's a kid, dude.
But the other thing is, I mean, she... I think the thing that really killed me is throughout this whole process, the grandparents pretty much had to do things with their son's killer.
They had to literally maintain a relationship with her.
Yeah, yeah. On the phone... they even went and did when she was out of jail. And when she went and did things with them.
Yeah, because after she did what, like a 9-10 month stint,
something like that.
She got out. Her lawyers got her out because she wasn't a threat to anyone. And because basically,
basically that the person that she wanted dead was already dead, and she was no harm to the rest of society.
Yeah, yeah, the public.
Yeah, yeah, they said. Yeah, because her crime was specific, violent, but
premeditated murder,
specific in nature. It's like, man, if she was in the States,
the person she wanted dead was dead.
Yeah, yeah.
End of story.
That's what they said, pretty much.
Now this is in Canada. This isn't in the
States. And this was Welsh. Was this Welsh?
Huh? Yeah, the Judge Welsh.
Yeah. Yeah. And the grandma says that name.
I know.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, they all they cared about at that time, and I kind of see their point, but I don't know if I'm that good of a person. I don't think I could have faced and done that with my son's killer.
No.
But then again, you think you have a baby involved that is part of your son.
Yeah. That's hard.
I mean, how they did that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, when you guys have got to watch this because
yeah, seriously.
It's so heart-wrenching.
And they're still doing work today.
Yeah, they've done a lot.
She wouldn't have made it out of the hospital if it was me as soon as that baby came out.
Well, the dad had said there was different things that are not the dad, the grandpa.
Shit.
Yeah.
Right in the IV. Good night.
Well, he even said, when Kate went to sleep, he said, I have thought about leaving and going and killing her, and whatever happens to me happens. Kate wouldn't know about it,
right.
And Kate would be awarded
Zachary
custody of Zachary.
Well, he said he was going to take Zachary.
Yeah.
And
he had a bunch of different scenarios.
Yeah, he had been thinking about
but he
what
said
he could
that
do,
none
but,
of them,
and then they
he
were,
wasn't
but
a murderer,
they,
though.
But like we were kind of talking before, you know, like I said, I would have just... And the minute she went in jail, I would have just took the kid and came back to the States because they were trying to extradite her back to the United States for killing Andrew. And
when you extradite someone, I think it takes 5 years is the maximum time another country, place, or whatever can hold someone before, no matter what, they have to give them to the person that wants them.
So she would have had
a long time fighting.
So this is the crazy part. This is how she got out of jail. And... while she was in jail, she wrote to the judge who... oh, this just kills me.
I know.
And
this part,
contrary to normal legal procedures, received advice on how to appeal her arrest and imprisonment.
From the judge that was going to appeal her.
Yes. she was later released by...
Well, didn't she lose her attorneys or something and then...
Nobody wanted to pick it up.
The judge told her that, well, you're a doctor. You can do your own defense.
Yeah. She didn't even have an attorney at the time. Like, she just kind of walked her through everything.
Yeah.
So, which is fucked. She already had the appeal thing filed. Ready. Yeah.
So the judge, Gail Welsh, felt that she did not pose a threat to society in general, which was bullshit. Turner was therefore released on bail and successfully sued for joint custody of Zachary with the Bagbys, although their arrangement was, I mean, oh, I'm getting frustrated again.
I know.
This case just really pissed me off.
Yeah.
Can you tell?
Yeah.
So...
Your computer, I was just saying, be careful. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want that now.
So, with all that being said, I mean, there's so much more. Like, when you watch a documentary, you'll see exactly. It's just a tragedy all the way around. But the real tragedy is these people let her, a murderer, out of jail and take custody
of the person she murdered's child and hers, but still.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's talk about the bond and the psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. Oh, yeah. Well, supposedly her psychiatrist, which I think she had
something
manipulated.
With,
put up like $75,000.
But he didn't have to pay a dime of it.
$65,000. Yeah. They signed a bunch of like whatever. I think she signed over $15,000 of amenities or whatever. Of her stuff, and then he put up 65 or signed for it, but they never got it. Mm-hmm. They never gave it to him. They just let him, you know, file the paperwork, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it was because she was a doctor.
Right.
It's crazy. It's just like the pill mill stuff.
So after Zachary's birth, on July 18, 2002, she persistently refused to allow, David and Kate Bagley to see their grandson, fearing that they would kidnap him, which keep that in mind. And she went so far as to discharge the family law lawyer because of his positive attitude toward the Bagbys. On several occasions, it was noted that Zachary was unusually detached from his mother and preferred the company of other adults. And, you know, it's the same. Kids can pick up on stuff just like
they
animals.
They feel it, dude. He probably knew deep down what she did to his father.
Well, like, you could... I mean, there was multiple times where she would... even before and after she was in prison. Because, like, right in the middle, she was in jail for, like, 9 months or so. Something like that. And then... you know, she would call the grandparents and say she didn't have diapers and food and... You know, the grandparents would, you know, they were doing everything right.
They were
right,
like, listen,
recording
like, that
all
baby
of her phone
is not
calls.
Recorded
you
everything.
Know what I mean? Like, taking, you know what I mean? Like, they were ready to do everything they could
they
to make
to
sure
drive
that kid.
2 hours, like, when she was in prison, or to go pick him up.
And they still had
right?
to take him.
In the weather, everybody was saying how bad the weather was.
There
you
was
know,
8 months
and,
of winter,
and
what,
these aren't
the rest
young.
Was bad winter.
These aren't young.
No, these
people,
aren't young people at all.
You know, I
and
mean,
this ain't like down in the border of Canada. This is way up north.
Yeah,
right.
The farthest north.
Yeah.
Part of,
and
north
it's kind
of
like a little
like
island
a little,
itself,
yeah.
ain't it?
Yeah,
it's like a. It kind of looks like Florida.
Ferry,
honestly, like, but
ferry. That's the other way
direction.
Off the island.
Everybody said that she that.
Yeah, we were talking about that because when.
Yeah, the grandpa was talking about like three different ways that he could fix this. You know,
yeah,
and he was like, I could either. Wait until Kate, his wife, took a sleeping pill and then sneak over there and kill her. You know, or
so
we could
she
leave.
She wouldn't know what was going on and could get Zachary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said there was like three ways.
Three ways you could leave. By plane, by boat,
or by ferry.
By ferry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he knew somebody would see him and know.
Right,
that,
right.
Yeah.
He's like, but I'm not a murderer, so.
And I mean, yeah. She even, I think.
I mean,
in
the
what
the priest,
I got,
I know.
Yeah, even the priest. One of the priests was like, "It's logical." He didn't want to say it,
yeah,
but he
was thinking too. Because she went to the church too, didn't she?
Yeah,
did she involved herself in the
after,
same church that they
while
went
the case
to,
was ongoing.
She involved herself
she
in
out.
Everything.
Well, Well, right. They said after she got out the last time, you know, she was real brass and, like, kind of in your face and, like, cocky. And
no, but while she was in prison, she tried to stab another inmate with a plastic fork. She was on suicide watch every 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. How was this not noted when she was released on fucking bail?
Well, it's also on record, which
it wasn't really bail either.
Also on record that I don't understand. That really didn't come into the courts. Maybe it couldn't. I don't know all the legal stuff. But one of her landlords had actually went to the police and I believe also the social services for the kids, saying that he had actually seen one of the girls struck by her.
Oh God.
So there was so much that said this chick was crazy. But it just slipped through somehow, you know?
That's why we call it Psycho Shirley, huh? Yeah.
Psycho Shirley. But she had a jealousy on the grandma bad.
Big time.
Anyone. Yeah. I mean, I it think, was yeah, everyone. Yeah. Just, everyone was
probably why she hit her daughter. She's probably jealous of her daughter.
Well, and she even said at his first birthday, told them, he obviously loves you more than me, so why don't you just take him? Who says that?
I know.
Yeah, mothers don't
Who
say that.
Who freaking says that, you know?
There was video of her and how pissed off she was at the party whenever he was in his grandma's arms because he was pushing on her and shit to get her off of him.
Yeah.
It was almost like she was just playing good mom to fucking not
Well,
go to
if
prison.
You think about it, though, her other three kids, she used... In medical school, she would use, well, I wasn't here because of my kids were sick, but she wasn't even anywhere near her kids.
No.
Her kids were with their fathers who took care of her other, you know, her other
she
kids.
She even made comments about, like, not having to deal with them. And
she used the money that she was supposedly supposed to get, you know, for the kids for sneaking around and doing other crap.
Old,
you know,
TJ,
just,
the boy that they showed in the end, I mean, she was driving his car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm sure she's the only reason she was probably keeping him around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
She would even ask Kate questions about Zach, or about Andrew. Like, did Andrew have light hair like Zachary when he was little? And they would just be like, are you fucking serious? Are you really going to... They said that we weren't going to discuss anything with you other than through the lawyers about him.
Yeah.
And she hated it.
Yeah. They would
but
not
that makes her even more sick,
it.
Dude. Like, what?
How can you ask that
How
question?
Can you kill somebody and then turn around and ask their parents about...
And be all lovey with their
don't
parents.
Don't you think he looks like Andrew and shit like that? She was whacked because even the Kurt dude that did the movie was at his house to see Zachary, and he had to park down the street because they were afraid that if she showed up and seen his car, that she was going to come and take him.
Yeah.
She was whacked.
Great, that girl, the grandpa, man. He was
I know, great
I
guy.
I just want to fucking strangle that bitch. I'll fucking strangle that bitch. God damn it.
And honestly, I don't know how they did it.
I know.
I mean,
commitments to
some
them.
Some powerful people they are, man. Some strong ass people.
So, here we go.
Prepare yourselves.
On July 4, 2003, Turner met a young man at a bar in St. John's. Shocker. The pair dated and were intimate on two occasions afterwards. The man, probably realizing that she
was a
psycho
bitch. His friends told him about how she was in the middle of an ongoing premeditated murder case over one of her ex-boyfriends. And he stopped talking to her and was like, I don't want nothing to do with
I'm
you.
I'm out of here.
And she started blowing him up, calling him hundreds of times and shit like that.
Well, he broke it off after learning from friends about Turner's connection to Babby's murder. He's probably like, holy shit.
Yo, dude, this bitch psycho. She killed her ex.
Shirley
has his kid.
Shirley made over 200 threatening phone calls to the man over the following month. She claimed to have gotten pregnant by the man, but no evidence was ever found showing this to be the case.
She wasn't fucking pregnant.
The man contacted the RNC on three occasions to complain about Shirley's harassment, which violated the terms of her bail. And there's another thing. and would have grounds to lose custody of Zachary. Because the man did not identify himself and declined to file any criminal complaint against Shirley.
God, no, I wish she would have, man.
No investigation was launched by the RNC. When the RNC constable contacted Shirley's lawyer about the harassment, Turner, Shirley denied the allegations. Well, yeah, what is she going to do? Yeah, I did it. So, on August the 18th, 2003, a day Zachary was scheduled to be in his mother's custody, Shirley purchased 30 tablets of Ativan from a St. John's pharmacy.
Which she was prescribed by her psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a
weasel. A piece of fucking work.
Yeah. She then drove Zachary to nearby Conception Bay South, where her former boyfriend lived. There, Turner parked, or I keep saying Turner. Shirley parked her car near his house, left photographs of herself and Zachary, as well as a used tampon. On the front seat, police concluded that she was attempting to frame the boyfriend for the impending murder-suicide. After spiking Zachary's baby formula with Ativan and ingesting it herself, Shirley strapped the infant to her chest and jumped off a fishing wharf into the Atlantic Ocean. Both of them drowned.
Fucking bitch.
And you found face.
Let me tell you, I bawled. Because I didn't see it coming.
No, man.
No,
and
I didn't either.
Bawled my eyes out. I was because so mad. The one thing that they determined was that Zachary was rendered unconscious by the Ativan and did not suffer. So thank I can God. Say that's the one thing that she did. I can't even say right.
At least she didn't like do anything violent to him. No, I mean, it was still violent, but you know what I mean.
Oh my gosh. This one really got me, man.
At least he didn't feel pain. He was 13 months old when he died.
No, the first responder that wrapped him up in a blanket instead of a plastic bag.
He said it.
About the only one that did anything
right. And carried him really gently.
And kept him away from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's he said he was not going to let that baby go anywhere near her. And yeah. I was like, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Devastating. So,
yeah,
regardless.
That guy deserves a medal too.
Yeah. You know, it's a failed system. One thing that the grandparents, Andrew or Zachary's grandparents, Andrew's mom and dad, David and Kate, they are doing. And actually,
she's a children's advocate now too, I think.
Yeah, they're trying to change the laws. Well, I think they did get a few.
They did.
They have. In 2010, after watching the documentary, MP Scott Andrews introduced Bill C-464, also known as Zachary's Bill, to the Parliament of Canada. The bill, which helps protect children in relation to bail hearings and custody disputes, was signed into law. Kurt is donating all the profits from the film to a scholarship established in the names of Andrew and Zachary Bagby.
Yeah, they have a wall as well of what Zachary and Andrew and the residency place that he worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like of he used to do photography and stuff, so they got a memorial up and they do like people
scholarship.
Who,
yep, they started a scholarship fund program in his name, for photos. In both of their names.
What was the website? Dear Zachary, was it DearZachary.com?
I believe so. Yes.
There's still bills out now and stuff that they want you to sign. If you watch the video or the documentary, it's at the end of it. It gives you all the information
actually,
about
it. Yeah,
actually,
I think it was to they're get that donations. Judge out of office some shit, too.
Yeah.
Well, some of those judges. Nobody was
they ruled his death.
The psychiatrist ended up
he ended up going
sued,
to jail.
Yeah.
He ended up going
he
to jail.
He got sued. He lost.
But they ruled it that, you know, Zachary didn't have to die. Like,
no,
you know,
he did not.
They had
the
a
judge
private,
said,
they had an investigation into it and they said like,
it was preventable.
It was preventable.
One of the judges they released her down, said, well, if they wouldn't have released her in the first place, I wouldn't have ever had to put her back out on this. What? And he said, Zachary would still be alive.
It's a, Shirley's psychiatrist was found guilty of misconduct for having helped her post bail. And then also the grandpa David Bagley wrote a best-selling book about his family's ordeal. You know, it's just a shame that this innocent... Both of them were innocent.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, but...
28 and 13 months.
What these grandparents did, though, man. Father and son, uprooted from California to move to, like, the shittiest part of Canada. Not shitty, but... Cold. I don't mean to say that.
No, it's really beautiful there, actually.
Yeah, the weather's shitty.
I didn't mean to say shitty, but...
the weather. Yeah. Everybody said the weather's shitty.
I don't like winter. But, yeah, I mean... Well, into that shitty situation, left. I guess I should say.
Well, and I think they moved there to be there... To do for the case and all that, I figured, as I would have,
and they ended up
making friends, and they got kind of tied into the community.
Everybody loved them too.
I would have moved there too because I'm thinking this bitch is going to jail. I need to be there to take him.
Yep. Yeah,
and that's my, you know, my make son's sure he's, baby. He's okay.
Since the system's failing.
And you know, one thing that they said was they were so upset because nobody cared about Andrew. It was all about her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of it was about her. Nobody cared about their dead son. Nobody cared about their innocent. And it was true throughout that whole thing.
And at the time, like, when...
What do you do?
When Kurt made the documentary, he was actually making it for Zachary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking that he was...
To show him his dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so he could... Yeah, the whole... Yeah, that's what the whole documentary was really about. Like, you know, it's called... A
letter to Zachary.
No, dear Zachary.
a letter from your father.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
and it ended up being for David and Kate in the end of it, though. He ended up
doing it for David and Kate at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was very well done. Like I said, it was an accident. I was looking for, you know, deranged women serial killers, and I just thought, huh, that seems interesting. And just started watching it, and I thought, well, this bitch is definitely deranged.
Yeah, definitely deranged.
Psycho. And like I said, with the scary thing about it, and I was talking to Ron, you know, earlier today, is I've known a few people that are conniving like that.
Yeah.
I've seen them work, and I've had a few work against me.
It's scary.
And it's very scary. Very scary. You know? And you have to be... I don't know, man. It's just feels so bad for that little boy.
I know.
Yeah.
Not even 2 years old though.
Yeah.
Didn't even make it to a year and 6 months.
And he looks so much like his dad.
I know.
Like I said, man, Andrew's one of them dudes I want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he was funny as hell.
You know, none of them deserve that. And honestly, the laws, I don't care where it's at. Canada, I don't care where it's at. Any type of law like that puts an innocent baby in the hands of a premeditated murderer? Well, she wasn't convicted.
Yeah, she wasn't convicted.
She wasn't convicted of it, but...
A bitch needed the chair.
We know she fucking did it.
The way I look at it is...
Gas chamber.
Yeah.
If there's even a thought of something like that, don't... Let them have sole custody.
No risk, man.
Would she have gotten the death penalty in Pennsylvania?
For premeditated? Yeah, wouldn't that be capital murder?
It depends.
Well, it depends on the state.
It depends on the state. All states have different laws.
Right.
I don't know if they're a death penalty state.
Yeah, all states have different laws, but she took that out of everybody's hands.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have shed a tear for her.
No, I didn't.
No, but she took the easier way out.
It sucks because in a way she got what she wanted.
Yeah, she did.
Yep.
But oh my god,
she couldn't have it. Nobody could.
Yeah, them.
It was her mindset, literally.
Yep.
But yeah, the all of his friends and everybody that, you know, it was a hard one to watch, but
it's definitely worth the watch, though.
It was very well made.
Especially, you know, if you got to rent it or pay for it or something, it's worth it.
And the thing that I'm learning...
goes to a good cause.
You know, some of the stuff, like, freaks me out. I've been more cautious, I think. Not that I'm more paranoid. But, I mean, you're learning some things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this was a doctor, you know? So it's like...
Yeah. So, guys, more crazy stuff coming your way.
Yep.
Yep.
Like, comment, subscribe, share, find us on Facebook. Yep. Stay tuned for the next one.
And don't be our next episode.
Oh, that's a good. That's good.
Deranged Nation.
You've been listening to the Deranged Nation podcast. Join us every Wednesday night for a new episode as we bring you true crime, unsolved mysteries, and other deranged stories. This episode was sponsored by Braps MX and ATV Pro Shop. Visit them at brapsmx.pro. Also, visit our host, TeresaGableman.com, New York Times best-selling paranormal romance author of the Protectors series, available on Amazon.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.